This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov. There were some very excited scenes yesterday at Ben Gurion Airport when four flights with 230 new immigrants arrived yesterday from France. And this brings the total number of new immigrants from France just this year, 2026, to over 800. Now, we know that there's been a lot of anti-Semitism in France. French Jews have had to suffer not only anti-Semitism in their day-to-day lives and on the streets of France, but the president of France, Macron, has really displayed a somewhat extreme policy, I would say, with regard to what matters to him and what how that translates to the streets of France, his visits to the Arab countries, his criticisms of Israel across the board, his lack of sensitivity about what that means for Jews living in France, I think, has really led to this. So it's very interesting that so many from France, even though this is really not a new phenomenon, because let's go back 2023, more than 1,000 Jews emigrated from France. In 2024, more than 2,000.
Wow.
And last year, 2025, 3,300 Jews
massive
from France
numbers,
immigrated to Israel.
Massive.
So we just see that number growing and growing and growing. And you know, one of the things that we say is that, you know, when we see the upsurge of anti-Semitism around the world, as we have done over the last 2.5, 3 years, even longer, a lot of people like to compare it to the situation that existed in the years that preceded the Shoah. And everybody, of course, points to the one significant difference in those two sets of circumstances, and that is the existence of the State of Israel. And we see that now really making a difference with so many immigrants, particularly from France, but indeed from other countries as well. According to data from the government ministry, more than 67,000 new immigrants from around the world have moved to Israel since October the 7th.
It's just absolutely incredible. Really, really amazing because, as we always say, it should be the other way around. But as Jews, that's what we do. We move towards, not away from it. Let's just talk about what is happening in the region. The U.S. has attacked Iranian targets for a third night in succession. It's actually just remarkable to see the level of the, I know we talk about other things, but I can't get over the level of the Iranian military infrastructure, that this kind of intensity night after night, and there's still more targets.
There are plenty more targets, and I think what's quite interesting in the strategy that's being employed by the U.S., let's not forget that the U.S. Army has something like 50,000 service members who are currently deployed across the Middle East, in various countries around the Middle East. That is a massive, massive commitment on the part of the US military. And there is a lot more to come yet, because I think what we've seen, I mean, Howard, you and I have spoken over the last few days and few weeks even about whether each successive day potentially represents an escalation from what was the case before. What's going on verbally, diplomatically, in the press, the accusations, the threats, that is like escalating way out of control. You know, the way that President Trump has put out public statements, the way that the Iranian regime have responded and put out their own statements, the threats and the personal insults and the effectively the denigration of an agreement which has been signed between the US and Iran, even though it's a memorandum of understanding rather than some sort of a final peace agreement. But that agreement seems to have been torn up, at least in the press, in terms of the threats and the accusations that have gone backwards and forwards. But on the ground, we see Iran continuing to attack ships that are sailing through the Straits of Hormuz. Yesterday was no exception. We understand that there even were people killed as a result of Iranian attacks against ships in the Straits of Hormuz. The Americans are intent to publish a sort of business as usual message about the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz are open. Not only are the Straits of Hormuz open, but the US military is marshalling and protecting ships that go through the Straits of Hormuz. And President Trump announced yesterday for that service, he will be levying a toll. He will be levying a fee on ships that take advantage of US protection, even though he had previously said that under no circumstances will Iran be allowed to levy a fee for any of the ships that sail through the Straits of Hormuz. So there's a lot of contradiction, lack of consistency, lack of constant strategy being deployed across the board here. But we do see the military targets being attacked. Last night was no exception. Apparently, there was a five-hour mission that U.S. forces successfully carried out, striking various military targets across Iran, including Bushehr, which is the nuclear reactor site, including the port at Bandar Abbas, which is around the Straits of Hormuz area. So a number of different targets being attacked, including Iranian military targets, including targets which surround the area of the Straits of Hormuz. We understand that for the very first time, U.S. forces have used naval drones, boats, ships, speedboats, I don't know how one would describe them, unmanned speedboats, which were used, suicide drones, which were used to attack targets around the coastal area in the Straits of Hormuz. That was the first time that that's ever been deployed by the US military, and particularly in that area. So some quite interesting developments. But I think what we're seeing is a relatively controlled, quite choreographed set of attacks that are taking place each night in order to respond first and foremost to send a message to the Iranians that no attack will go without a response. I think that's an important message to send. Second of all, that there is a lot more to come, that if they allow the situation to escalate, and I think there is a marginal escalation each day. I don't think the escalation is dramatic. I think it's just incremental, a little every day, a little more every day. So not quite the same as yesterday, just a little more, but still not enough to really blow the whole situation up. And of course, again, Iran has responded by attacking countries in the region, U.S. bases in the Gulf area and in Jordan. And, you know, so all of that is, again, I think, a little choreographed and just a little escalation each time. Eventually, this escalation is going to blow up. It's not going to continue forever like
it's
this.
Not possible.
So at some point, somebody's going to lose their patience, and it's all going to go, you know, blowing.
Well, I see that they've specifically have not targeted Israel. Even the Houthis yesterday, when they got involved, fired at Saudi Arabia and not Israel.
Correct.
So there does seem to be a little bit more concern from the Iranians about bringing Israel into it. I guess with the understanding that once Israel is involved, then it's much harder to pull back.
I think, well, first of all, the attack by the Houthis against Saudi Arabia, of course, came against as a response to the Saudis actually dropping a missile on a Houthi airport landing strip, which prevented a plane, which I think came from Iran, from landing in Yemen. That plane ultimately landed at another airport not too far away, but the Houthis felt that Saudi Arabia had crossed the line. But one thing I can assure you is that when you see a missile being fired towards Israel, you know that all bets are off. You know that that's the moment that things are going to blow up. So I think that they're kind of waiting for that. I mean, I'm not discounting the possibility of that happening within the next few weeks. It quite it could quite easily happen as this slowly but surely escalates. But for now, at least, we don't see it. And certainly the feeling in Israel for at the moment is not that we are preparing for the next round of hostilities with Iran. Everybody's going about their daily business quite normally. School holidays are in full flow now. Children are on their holidays at the beaches and doing whatever summer activities they generally get up to. So there doesn't feel like any attempt to prepare for another round of hostilities. But everybody knows in the back of their minds that this could happen anytime soon. So we are watching carefully. And if this escalation continues in an incremental fashion the way it has done over the last week or two, then I could easily see this blowing at some point in the near future.
Let's talk about this incredible story. It's quite unbelievable. It's been reported that a former Mossad chief met with former Iranian President Ahmadinejad a while back, I think 2 years ago. What do we know about this?
So this is a very fascinating story, because let's start with Ahmadinejad and the fact that he was formerly the president of Iran. And when he was the president of Iran, he was considered to be a real enemy of Israel, a real enemy of Israel, threatening against Israel and against the US, the big Satan, the small Satan. He used all of that rhetoric. And interestingly as well, in the last little while, and most recently, during the whole funeral, the multiple funeral processions and ceremonies that took place for the late Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, Ahmadinejad was seen to be participating in some of those processions and those ceremonies. So he's very much seen within Iran as part of the regime, former president, who represented the views and the strategies and the policies of the former Supreme Leader. Now we understand that the Mossad was very much in contact with Ahmadinejad as the possible person who would take over ruling Iran when the current Islamic regime is pulled down, that he would then be available and ready to fill the gap, to take over, and would be cooperative with Israel and with the US and with Western countries, and would represent the antithesis of the current Islamic regime, even though for an extended period of time, he very much represented and led the policies that are associated with the Islamic regime. And there's quite a lot that's been written over the last few days in the Jerusalem Post and in the New York Times about what the preparations were that were being made to somehow bring the situation in Iran to a position that Ahmadinejad could come forward and take over and somehow lead Iran away from the Islamic regime into a more sort of Western-style democracy and bring it closer to the West rather than to the Islamic extremists. And meetings between the head of the Mossad and between other members of the Mossad, including a former head of the Military Intelligence Directorate of the IDF, and the preparations and the thoughts that went into how to bring Ahmadinejad up to that, including the fact that his house was supposed to have been attacked by Israeli forces and damaged to the point that it looks like he may have been killed, but he would have been somehow rescued from the house by the forces on the ground in order to extricate him and to allow him to be around when the moment comes for him to take over the government. And in fact, his house was attacked during the last round of hostilities, and he did survive that attack. So it sort of looks like that plan was even being carried out in some way, shape, or form. The one thing that seems not to have worked out according to plan was Turkey and the Kurds, because apparently the whole intricate plan was that the Kurds would somehow rise up which would then weaken the Iranian government to the point that Ahmadinejad could step forward and take over. But it was, in fact, Erdogan who opposed the idea of giving the Kurds any sense of power in Iran and, by extension, also in Turkey. And according to the reports that I've read, it was Erdogan, President Erdogan of Turkey, who convinced President Trump that this wasn't a bad idea and he didn't want to give the Kurds any sense of strength or power in the region and the ability to somehow bring Ahmadinejad to power in Iran. It's a very, very fascinating story, and I've only really just touched on some of the edges of it. There's a lot more that is in the public domain that I haven't had a chance to talk about, and of course plenty more that we haven't had a chance to even hear about in the press. But a very, very fascinating plan indeed, all cooked up apparently by the Mossad in cooperation with the American forces.
You wonder what's going to happen to him now, a house arrest in Iran.
Exactly.
I don't see the story ending well for him. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.